Hey guys, welcome back to the Motherlode Show. Not to be too much of a Debbie Downer, but this podcast is about a rather somber topic. It is International Holocaust Remembrance Day. And as we remember this very, very tough time in the history of the Jewish people, we also have to remember the little or the large Holocaust. The elephants in the room that we oftentimes ignore that happen all around us. There's so much to talk about, and it's all coming up right here on the Motherlode Show. So I was reading some articles about Holocaust Remembrance Day over the last couple of hours before I started the podcast. And a couple of them seemed kind of typical for our world. One of them is that Polish nationals are protesting because the Holocaust Remembrance Day is not inclusive enough. Another one from USA Today talks about how Holocaust Remembrance Day has been marked by elevated levels of violence, especially anti-Semitic violence. With those things in mind, I mean, they sound like very much first world problems that Polish nationals are complaining that they aren't represented enough as victims, right? It's a very first world kind of news story, but it marks a trend towards the way that people think of themselves as a perpetual victim and as needing to be the center of attention. This is, of course, not something that is in any way, it isn't any way a Polish problem. It is an international problem. And that international violence, that USA Today story, talked about a lot of different countries that had the same issues, where there are people who are not only protesting against the fact that the Holocaust Remembrance Day is too non-inclusive and only talks about the Jews and not other people who were killed by the Nazis, but they also are showing anti-Semitic violence, basically saying that, okay, maybe the Holocaust wasn't so bad after all. Now, these groups are a real minority of the population, and we hear about them in the news because they're bad news. And people like talking about bad news. But the simple fact is that it's true. People are forgetting how big of a problem, how big of a travesty, how horrific the Holocaust really was. And because of that, stories like this have become normal. We tune them out. And for that reason, the hate and the clamoring and the perpetual victimhood grows. Now, the problem is when you talk about the perpetual victimhood, I think that some of these people do have a case, that there were a ton of people killed by the Nazis during the Holocaust. But you have to remember also that that was war. The Poles were fighting the Nazis. So in terms of just war, of course Poles are going to be killed, right? But the problem is that there was a specific fatal flaw of the Nazi ideology, and that was their race-fueled hate against the Jews. Yes, they had it against other people groups, the Gypsies, the Blacks, they really hated. But you can't ignore the fact that there were 6 million Jews killed and a very, very small percentage of other people were killed during the Holocaust. That the Jews were the main target of Hitler. Now, you can assign whatever reason you want to this. But the simple fact is that the Holocaust was specifically a Jewish problem. And while other people were targeted because people who hate can't constrain their hate to one people group, because hate is infectious, it's like a disease, it starts diseasing the entire body, and sooner or later, everyone who isn't you is going to be a hated person. But it's a specifically Jewish problem. And the people who are anti-Semitic and causing this anti-Semitic violence, this rise in hate with the nationalist groups that are going out and that are talking about maybe the Holocaust wasn't so bad, These people are going hand in hand with the people who are saying, we aren't included in the victim status. Because what it takes for us to see that type of rise in hatred again is, first of all, you have to normalize the hatred so everyone has to tune it out. Secondly, you have to include everyone in the victim status so that nobody is special, so that we can't see that there was some type of special bias against a people group. And thirdly, you have to have a radical element who are willing to show why the people who are claiming that they're the special victim are being somehow selfish and are deserving of the violence. And this is the pattern that it will follow. And I predict that there will be a rise in anti-Semitic hatred across the world. A rise that we haven't seen in a long time. I predict that we're going to see a lot of growing hatred and anger, as we have seen with people in the United States government who are specifically supporting Hamas, including the Representative Ilhan Omar, who are going out there and basically supporting the BDS movement, the Boycott, Divest, Sanction movement against Israel, basically saying that anything that Israel produces, because they're an oppressor nation, the only democracy in the Middle East, but still, an oppressor nation, and for that reason that none of their products should be bought and they should be banned, blacklisted, sanctioned on the global market. There are people who are vocal about this in the mainstream here in the United States, and that's horrible. But I think that there is a hidden, a bigger, a worse Holocaust that's happening in the United States that far transcends anything that has been done to the Jews. For the reason that the Jews are people, and they have an ability, whether or not they're going to win, but they have an ability to try to defend themselves. They have an ability to fight for what they believe in. They have an ability to thrive if they're banded together. Specifically, I believe if they're following God, they have some strength, but strength in conviction, strength in a peoplehood. But there is a group who is not as protected as they are. As strange as it is to say that, there is a group who is murdered on a larger scale than the Jews were in the Holocaust. And what's more, you've never heard one of them lift a finger to help themselves. You've never heard one of them even speak. Because the people I'm talking about are the unborn. Recently in New York, just this week actually, and it seems very fitting that Holocaust Remembrance Day would come at the end of this week, the governor signed into law a bill called the Reproductive Health Care Act. Now, it sounds very nice that we're going to give health care to people, that it's reproductive health care, so it specifically is good for women and people who are having children. It sounds very nice, right? It's health care. Very good, right? But one of the main things that this bill was intended for, one of the main points of legislation that it was supposed to enact, one of the main reasons that this law was specifically put out at this time was to further abortions. Specifically in the law says that, one, New Yorkers have a right. And a right is a very specific legal way of speaking, and I'll talk about it in a second. But New Yorkers have a right to an abortion. That women have a right to an abortion if they want it at any time. And that is a huge, huge, not only a change, but it's a huge shift in the way that abortions are talked about in a legal sense. Now, of course, this type of language has been going around in different groups, specifically radical hate groups like Planned Parenthood, that are specifically going out there pretending, if you will, that their main purpose is to help women and give reproductive health care, just like this law says, for women. But at the same time, selling and using aborted body parts for profit by selling them to medical research companies, by selling them to many different groups that will use this human tissue, sometimes as cell cultures, a lot of different stuff. It's a horrible, disgusting industry. The thing is about this, that when the law says that this abortion is a right, what that means is that not only is it a privilege, like driving in New York State is a privilege, so you can get a license to drive. Everyone has the opportunity to drive, but if you get it taken away, you don't have any specific legal recourse to that. I mean, you can go to court and say, oh, I shouldn't have gotten it taken away. I didn't speed or whatever, you know, you got it taken away for. But a right is something that the government is not allowed to take away from you. And the problem is that as they do this, they talk about the rights of a woman to choose what happens with her body. And by the way, I agree with them. A woman should choose what's right with her body. Each person has the right of self-determination. But the problem is that they are not only, because of this right to self-determination for the woman, completely ignoring the fact that a full-grown fetus, or shall I say a full-grown baby, is not only capable of living on its own, but has its own reproductive system, has its own heart, has its own digestive system, has its own skin, has its own DNA. They completely ignore the fact that it is a separate entity whatsoever, but they also basically say that their rights are worth nothing. Before, abortion was talked about as one safe, legal, and rare. That was the way it was sold. But also, it was talked about only for at the youngest stages of the human development process. And while people like me who are pro-life and who can state that life begins at conception, because there's no other line you can really draw and be more than arbitrary about it, right? At conception, they have their own DNA. At conception, they have all of the potentials of a living human being. And given enough technology, we don't have it yet, but given enough technology, they would be viable from the point of conception, even independent of the mother, which isn't the same about any body part of a woman. But with that said, even before this, there was the expectation that if there was an abortion, which has been allowed for some time, of course, it would only be done in a way that would ensure that there was no pain and no brain function of the fetus. And for that reason, it was always done in the first two trimesters, and then it was usually done for a purpose. For instance, the necessity or the health of the mother. Now, this law does say that abortion should only be done up to birth in cases of the health of the mother. And it sounds very good. Like, okay, at least they're saying it's for the health of the mother, and we're kind of weighing goods against each other. Is it the health of the mother? Or is it the health of the child we're going to worry about? Seems very good, right? The problem is that in legal terms, the way that they've worded it and the way they speak about health specifically refers to a constitutional case in which health was defined by being not only physical health, like as in she might suffer some kind of debilitating body damage if she has this child, but it can also mean psychological health. It can also mean that your family situation isn't considered healthy. And for this reason, it gives not only doctors and not only the mother, but the government the leeway to state that any child can be killed if the government or if the doctor deems it an unhealthy situation, which, by the way, with an unscrupulous person, could be anywhere. It's like this idea of medical marijuana, and I happen to know a lot of people who've gotten medical licenses to take marijuana for their ADHD or something like that, where they're honestly a fully functioning, normal human being, and they can trump up some health reason for getting a medical marijuana license and smoking it up. And that's the problem, is that this is what is happening. And the way that the law is specifically worded is for this to be able to happen, so that they can say, oh, it's for the health of the mother, and point to anyone who's pro-life and say, oh, look, you don't like the health of women? What's wrong with you? While at the same time allowing for a baby to be killed at any stage, and also allowing for it to be killed for any reason. Completely overlooking the fact that if it is indeed a human, if it has brain function, which it does, if it has the ability to survive, which, by the way, at the point of birth, it does. If it has its own beating heart, it has its own hands, but it has no rights because of this phony right that's put into the Reproductive Health Care Act. I honestly can't speak more strongly against something than I feel about this subject specifically, because you're taking the most helpless, the youngest, the most vulnerable part of our society, and yet the backbone, the way in which a society is kept going, the growth, the potential of not only a baby itself, but the growth and potential of society. And you're tossing it literally into the garbage can. You want to know how cancer can be cured? You want to know how these diseases that we've had so much trouble with can be cured? You want world peace? Well, sucks to be you, because the problem is that all of the kids who might have solved that problem are dead. And it's because of horrible, horrible laws like this. Now, of course, there is an argument that in certain cases, for instance, they talk about rape as a case in which an abortion should be allowed. But I've never understood this. In our society, and specifically in the state of New York where I'm speaking from, the death penalty is not only looked down upon, but banned. There is no death penalty. So a rapist can't be killed, but the kid he creates by his crime can be killed? Where's the fairness in that? That the evil guy gets to get away? Yeah, maybe he goes to prison. It's not likely to be even a life sentence. Sometimes it's only 5-10 years. But the baby dies? So the potential for a perfect life, the potential for a better world, is thrown in the trash because it would inconvenience the mother and is too harsh for the father to be facing up to the fact that he either has to take care of this kid or pay a heavy price for his crimes? What is wrong with our world? It's upsetting to me, and I have some personal feelings for this, for the reason that two of my good friends, and I'm not going to use their names here on the radio for the reason that I didn't ask them beforehand to talk specifically about their story, so I'm not going to use their names, but two of my friends within the last 5-10 years have had kids who are premature. One of them at 25 weeks, which is barely over the second trimester mark. That kid is thriving today. He's an awesome looking little kid. He pulled through, and the doctors were worried that maybe he would have some brain trauma and maybe would be developmentally disabled because of his early birth. But nope, he's doing great. The other child was born after a car accident. Also very, very premature. He's a cute kid. I really like him. Smart kid too. And both of them, I think, are going to be really great people when they grow up. from what I've seen so far. I mean, it's not been long, but I know their parents. Well, I mean, their parents are great, but that's not even beside the point. They have a potential for life, and they could have been either of them aborted. They were both young enough, and at this point, at birth, is young enough, according to New York State, to be killed. And their lives are blessing and are enriching people around them today. And you would lose that for what? Convenience? Because it hurts. It hurts to have to see a child that maybe came from a traumatic situation. The simple fact is, for my part, I would rather hurt every day. I'd rather live my entire life with a broken leg. I'd rather live my entire life with no legs. And to see kids live, rather than to kill a kid and be fine today. In terms of legality, that's the way that the law should look at it too. The law isn't all about being nice, right? We don't play nice with criminals. We put them in prison, right? We're not trying to play nice. But we're trying to do what's best for society. And the simple fact is, maybe it's not nice to a woman to save the child, but it is best for society. And I hate to use that argument because we don't want to be insensitive to the plight, to the pain, to the frustration of other people. We don't want to be that. I don't want to be that either. But in legal terms, it's not about playing nice. It's about playing fair and playing right. And what's fair is to give every person rights. And that includes the unborn. Lastly, I want to talk about the procedures that go into an abortion. And through these procedures, we can actually see that there is no conceivable way that you can call a baby in the womb part of the mother's body. The way in which babies are killed, especially late term, early term, there are, you know, hormone treatments that you can use that will stop the development. Not nice. Yucky, disgusting in my opinion. But you can use them, right? During a late-term abortion, that baby has its own functioning blood system. It has its own heart. It's not really connected except to, you know, to get nutrients through the placenta, right? So the way in which they kill these babies is by injecting their heads with a lethal injection. Oh, it doesn't leak into the woman's body. No, it stays within the child's body because they're not the same thing. They take out a baby in the womb by lethal injection. Then if the baby's too big to come out naturally, they cut it up and pull it out. Listen, you go to Auschwitz today to bring it back to Holocaust Remembrance Day. You go to one of those places, Dachau, where they killed, where they smoked, where they gassed millions of Jews. And that's horrible. That's disgusting. And then you look at our world where we're injecting babies with lethal injections and cutting them up and throwing them in the garbage or selling their body parts. What is wrong with us? You really have to be a special kind of either evil or ignorant or brainwashed. And in many cases, that's what it is. People who are super nice, who are completely brainwashed into thinking that that potential life snuffed out by lethal injection, something we don't even allow for our worst criminals in New York. Not for a first-degree murder. Not for a rape and murder. Not for a mass shooting. We don't allow the death penalty for that, oh no. But for a kid who's done nothing wrong and who has the potential to be a life that might save yours one day, do it. Let's just toss them into the garbage. If we want to say on Holocaust Remembrance Day that we will never forget what our parents, what our family members, if you're Jewish, and if you're not, What if you're one of those Polish nationalists who want to be included in the Holocaust Remembrance Day because you were killed too? What if you're a black person and yes, the Nazis killed you too? What if you're a gypsy and yes, the Nazis killed you too? What if you're one of those people who have faced up to real adversity and people hating you and people killing you? What if you're one of those people and you say you won't forget? How can you not recognize when it happens in your world today? When it happens around you? When it's happening down your street? Guess what? Most Germans probably didn't see the concentration camps in action. And when the Jews were carted through in trucks, it probably didn't look like much. Right? It probably didn't look like much. A bunch of people in the back of a truck. Oh, wow. You know, it's not really that much different than normal life. People ride in trucks. So what? You can turn away and you cannot see it. And then you can be brainwashed by the party into believing, you know what? There are some people who are dangerous to society. People who commit crimes, who are siding with the enemy, who are trying to steal our money. All of the talking points. You can say that and say, oh yeah, get them out of here. And you can turn your head and not realize what's going on in the concentration camps. Or you can recognize what's going on around you. You can keep your eyes open and you can see what's going on and you can speak out against it and work against it in every possible way so that history doesn't remember you as an insane, evil puppet of an evil dictator. Your choice. Go right ahead. You choose. It's happening in your world. It's happening in your street. What are you going to be? Are you going to turn away? They can't cry out. These babies can't cry out. They're too young yet to even cry. Are you gonna not listen to them because of that? Are you not gonna listen to what's going on because it doesn't affect your life? Because when you see the nice little PP sign, the Planned Parenthood sign down the street, it's got a good logo, it's got a good design, has nice pink hearts or something on the outside. Are you not going to see what's going on? Wake up, America. Wake up, world. Because it's not happening only here. And in this way, I'd say that everyone is a victim. You want to be included on Holocaust Day? Wake up to the fact that the next generation is gone, that the problems in your world aren't fixed. And maybe it's your fault. You're not the victim. You're the murderer. This is the Motherlode Show. I'm Jackson Dunn. Check out next week's episode. I'll put it right up here. anchor.com/motherlode. And I'll see you next week.